Ron Van Dam knows exactly why you enjoy his show.
It makes no sense.
And that says something a little weird about you. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Don't argue with me. What's wrong with you? It's a pleasure to be with you today. Sit back, relax, I'll take it from here. Okay? That means you don't talk while I do this. At all. Oh my God, that's enough. All right. I'm enjoying myself. I don't know about you. Who cares? How are you? Oh my God. Oh gosh. I stood in line. I flew to London last night. I stood in line to pay my respects. The mile, it was like 3 miles long, standing in line. And I asked the guy in front of me to please hold my place while I went to a sandwich shop to get one slice of bologna between two slices of white bread with butter on it. That's a sandwich to them. I don't know how they pull that off, but they do. So I go over and I come back to the line, and I've eaten the sandwich. It only takes like 2 seconds to eat that stuff. Come back to the line. And everybody started yelling at me, hey, get out of line. Hey. And I said, no, I was here. This guy was saving my place. And the guy looked at me and said, I don't know. What y'all talking about, young man? Well, I was so incensed because I had already been standing online like for 3 hours amongst all these people who apparently don't brush their teeth. I got back on a plane and I said, hey, I got a show to do for my American friends. And here I am. Do you believe that story? Do you believe that actually happened to me? Mm-hmm. They are standing in line for 3 to 4 miles to see the Queen. In some cases, in most cases, standing in line for 36 hours. To pass by the side of a casket 20 feet away from it to pay their respects. There's got to be a different way to do this. There's got to be. Anyway, how are you? Good to see you. Is that, are you wearing new pants today? They fit you very nicely. You don't say that to people. Don't walk up to strangers and comment on how nicely their pants fit. I've learned that's a bad idea. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I know there's other things you could be doing right now, so I do appreciate your attendance. Notice how I don't take any roll call, because I don't really care if you listen or not. So, I will take attendance, actually. Becky? Is anybody here named Becky? No? All right. That makes sense. How about Susan? That's a fairly common name. Anybody named Susan? Oh, there's one in the back. There's one in the back. Hey, nice pair of pants. They fit you well. Okay. All right. I've talked about this on the show before, but I actually yesterday had occasion to walk into an IKEA store. IKEA. It's a Swedish, Scandinavian, Finland, I don't know, one of those places. Finland, Pakistan, I don't know which it is. So I walk into the place, and as you know, the IKEA stores are very famous for, as soon as you walk in, there's no way out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the magic of their marketing. Once you're in there, you have to spend at least 17 years in there. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm trying to get out, and what I dislike, as I've said most about IKEA, is that everything they sell, you have to assemble it. There was a nice painting on the wall that I saw, and I wanted to buy it. And I said to one of the IKEA people, one of the salespeople, I suppose, I don't know what you call those people, the IKEA people, the IKEANs. And I said, how much is that painting? I said, well, I said, the paint is $17. The canvas is $27. If you want an easel, I said, wait. I can't buy a painting. Oh, no, this is IKEA. You have to paint it yourself. Oh, my God. IKEA is nothing but a series of escape rooms to which they give you no clues whatsoever. And when there is a sign that says exit, you get all excited. Ooh, a way out. And then you go through the exit door, and it just sends you into a different room. It's really clever. These are couples, basically, that are starting out in life and have no furniture whatsoever. And by the time they get out of the IKEA store, they're 77 years old. It's amazing how that happens. Yeah, everything has to be assembled. Everything that you buy at IKEA is my antichrist. I can't assemble anything. My life is basically not assembled at this point. At the end of the IKEA, when you do find your way out, if you do, when the search dogs rescue you, they have a little restaurant, and IKEA is very famous for their meatballs. Now, I don't understand that at all. How can a store be famous for their meatballs and sell furniture? It kind of doesn't match. So I said, these are famous Swedish meatballs, whatever. So I walked in and I ordered a dozen meatballs. And they gave me half a pound of ground beef and some sauce. And I said, when you get home, you form the ground beef into ball shapes. You take this sauce, you mix it together, and you put it in the oven and bake it for 45 minutes, and be sure to add enough spices. And I thought you're just going to give me 12 meatballs or 6 meatballs here. Oh no, you have to cook it yourself. You have to assemble everything here. Oh my God. They're assemble crazy. Wow. Their employees, you don't marry people, you do mail order brides, and when the brides arrive into this country, you need to assemble them. It's amazing how they pull this off. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm running out of IKEA jokes very, very quickly. So this is enough. I'm leaving the IKEA joke realm right now. Oddly enough, I open the show with it. Usually I close with it just in case it's gets to be so bad it doesn't matter anymore, but I opened with it this time. You know, I was sitting at the bar alone. I said to myself, there was a guy sitting about 3 stools away from me. Where was he? 3 stools away. I measure everything by stools. How far is the casket from the people who are paying their respects to the queen? It's about 20 stools away, I would say. I measure everything by... How tall are you? I'm about 3 stools tall, I'd say. Yeah. Well, how big are the stools? That's not the point. I'm 3 stools tall. Anyway, about 3 stools away from me, I'm sitting at the bar, and this guy sits at the bar, and he's having lunch, and I'm having lunch. We don't, when you're there by yourself, you don't sit at a table by yourself. You sit at the bar, but not everybody drinks alcohol like I do. So So the guy's sitting there, and the bartender lady, she was a tender lady. She walked up to the guy and said, can I get you a drink? Because it is a bar. She didn't say because it is a bar. I added that. And the guy looks at her and says, I'll have a Coke. And her response was, is Pepsi okay? And he said, sure. And that's when I realized I've got something here. Boy, isn't it really something when a product is so popular, has reached the height of popularity to the point where the entire category is basically the name of your company. How do you achieve that? I mean, when people just say, give me a Coke. All right. We don't have Coke. Is Pepsi okay? Sure. The Pepsi company must be like really embarrassed, because the only recognition Pepsi gets is when Coke's not available. Well, is Pepsi okay? No, oh, geez, I guess so. No one ever walks into a place and say, give me a Pepsi. The Pepsi is not a thing. It's just a brand of soft drink. Give me a Coke. All right, now we know what you're talking about. What? And this stupid fucking company, there was a point, I guess about 20 years ago, if you were alive then, I don't know. They were doing so well. Coke was just the standard of soft drinks. That's what you called soft drinks. You called them Cokes. Even the bottles. Everybody knows what a Coke bottle is. It's a Coke bottle. Soda bottle is a Coke bottle. They even named bottles after them. But Coke didn't think they were doing well enough. I mean, how can you corner a market even more? They were like scared of Pepsi taking over? No, no, no. But Coke, never satisfied. So they come out about 20 years ago with the new Coke. And everybody said, what the hell? What the hell? What was wrong with the old Coke? And the new Coke tasted a little bit different, or even if it didn't, the marketing thereof just failed completely, and people went to Pepsi. Don't go to Pepsi. That wasn't the idea. And then they very quickly, all of a sudden, there was no more new Coke. But in order to get the old Coke back, they had to differentiate from the new Coke, which was failing. So they called it Classic Coke. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. And it worked. Now it's just Coke. There's no new Coke. There's no Classic Coke. There's 55 flavors of Coke, granted, but Coke's back. Just plain old freaking Coke. Never make that mistake again. Here's the lesson that Coke learned that you should learn in your life. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Leave it the hell alone. Stop finagling your own stupid product. Leave it alone. It's working. Leave it alone. Coke is a lesson in life. It really is. Making a gigantic mistake and then fortunately being able to reverse it, which most people can't do. You can't put toothpaste back in the tube. I love that comparison. Did you ever try to put toothpaste back in a tube? No. That's when the phrase, oh, fuck it, comes into play. Coke's still on top, man. They are Coke. There's just no way about it. Pepsi people, they hate that. Pepsi people are only known for, well, do you mind a Pepsi? Is Pepsi okay? That's their entire thing. Oh, yeah, I work for Pepsi. Is Pepsi okay? I don't know. Wow, talking about taking a back seat to something else. Ooh. And Pepsi is pretty big, but they're only responded to. Is Pepsi okay? Can you imagine somebody loving Coke so much that they say, Pepsi? Nah, no way. Get that crap out of here. Now, Pepsi tastes very much like Coke. I mean, You can't be a soda aficionado. I mean, if you're a wine snob, I get that. But being a soda snob, that's a little bit not too classy. Is Pepsi okay? No. No, it's not. I'm out of here. They don't do that. Nobody does that. Another company that just defined the whole industry, they use the company name to define the product for the whole industry. And I don't know if you're old enough for this. Probably not. But back before the turn of the century,
way back in the 1980s and 90s, before there was electricity,
there was a company called Xerox. They're still around, but I don't see much of them. There used to be Xerox buildings all over the place. They just make copies of themselves. Xerox was made copy machines. And in offices, when you needed to make a copy of something, you would say, well, I'm going to be down at the Xerox machine making copies. They actually called the art of making copies, the act of making copies, they called it Xeroxing. Well, now, of course, Xerox not so much on the top of the chain of copy machines at all, but there was a time not long ago in our history where making a copy was called Xeroxing something. That's pretty cool. Good for them. What happened to them? They lost their grip, I guess. That didn't work out too much. Bell and Howell used to make home movie projectors back in the 60s and 70s and things like that in the 80s. There are no more home movies anymore. There's no movie cameras there. Now we have the cell phones and all that stuff. Bell and Howell, top of the game. Bell and Howell's still around, but they don't make movie cameras anymore because there's no such thing. Not for the home. So now Bell and Howell is making surge protectors. Power strips. You can plug in your stuff into the power strip. It's a Bell and Howell power strip. So they're just using the name for everything. They have Bell and Howell condoms. I don't understand that either. It's a sad thing. Here's another company where the name of the company is synonymous with the entire industry. Can you guess what it is? Kleenex. They still make tissues. There's a lot of knockoffs, but they still are the tissue kings of brand tissue. Here, my nose is running. Why don't you grab a Kleenex? Grab a Kleenex. That's the top of the industry. Wow. Wow. Don't you grab a tissue? No. Go grab a Kleenex. Wow. That's pretty cool. Top of the game and still there. Here's another company that's at the top of their game industry-wise. Followed by Rolaids. But Rolaids, no one says, hey, I got to go down to the store and get a Rolaid. Some do, but nothing compared to. Oh, I'm feeling a little indigestion here. I'm gonna get a Tums. Tums? It's Tums. It's a Tum. It's a Tum. It's a Tum. I'm feeling a little acid refluxy. I don't think that's a word. Well, why don't you grab a Tums? Wow. Tums, huh? Pretty cool. These people have hit the top of their game. These products they are what they are, and no one can come close to them. It's fascinating. But not as fascinating as my guest, who is going to join us shortly. Not that my guest has no height to them, but shortly would be the amount of time that it would take before I talk to the guest. And we're going to do that momentarily. Before we do that, we do have to take a short commercial break. It's important for many, many reasons. Has nothing really much to do with you. Has more to do with me. Hey, You hungry?
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts.
Dr. Cliff Olson joins us. He's a board-certified audiologist, creator of Dr. Cliff on YouTube, and the founder of Hearing Up. Thanks for being with us today. I guess the first thing I'd ask is, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, hear you great. Okay. You sound great.
There you go. All right. Hey, speaking of hearing me okay, we're talking about hearing and hearing loss and what to do about it and possibly what technology makes this solvable. Let me start from the top, Cliff, and that is, how do I know if I have a hearing loss problem? I think everybody, when they get a little bit older, suffers some kind of hearing loss, or maybe you didn't hear somebody properly. How do you know the difference?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So when I think of, how do we know if we have hearing loss? Number one is, if you feel like you're having to ask people to repeat what they say pretty consistently, If you have loved ones who are complaining that you're not responding to them correctly or that you're mishearing different things, that is a telltale sign. Of course, increasing the volume of the TV is another one of those signs.
Yeah.
But in general, you're right. I mean, as we continue to get older, there's a high probability that you're going to develop hearing loss. So what I typically tell people is that if you're in your 50s and 60s and you've not had a hearing test, it is a very good idea to get your hearing tested to identify if you are at least even have the starting signs of a hearing loss.
Yeah, I get confused between possibly not hearing that well or whether I'm just not paying attention, which is also that's confusing too.
Well, just like myself, you're a guy, and so a lot of men have selective hearing, is what we call it. But, in general, it's very common to have different ranges of hearing being in decline, okay? Mm-hmm. So you could potentially have good low-frequency hearing, but not so good high-frequency hearing. And the perception to you is that you can hear that people are talking, you just can't make out exactly what they're saying. And so that gives this perception that I know that you were talking, I just didn't catch it, could you repeat that again? That is actually a sign that you might be developing a high-frequency hearing loss.
So what steps would one take if they suspect that that's the case, or if someone tells them that that may be the case? What's the first step? Is it the family practitioner? Is that where you start?
Yeah, a family practitioner would be a great start. You can go online to websites like resound.com. You can even take a hearing screener prior to actually going to a local clinic. But if you know that you have hearing difficulty, probably the smartest route for you to go is to find a local audiologist to get your hearing evaluated, and then determine if there are any appropriate treatment recommendations for you based on that audiologist recommendation.
That's pretty cool. Actually, those that are most concerned, I guess, are those that are on Medicare, and then you can go to any doctor or directly to the expert if you need to. That's a nice feature of that deal. So, yeah, once you're in the care of an audiologist, what would I expect?
So when you go in to see an audiologist, first and foremost, they should be taking a full health history of you to identify if there's any what we call red flags, because hearing loss could be caused by a medical condition, or it could just be caused by, age, it could be caused by noise exposure, and all of those would require different treatment options.
Okay.
So after they get identified what your history is, they should take you through a comprehensive hearing evaluation to include speech and noise testing. And then once they understand your specific and unique hearing loss, they should have a variety of different treatment recommendations ready for you.
I remember years ago, I was in the theater, and a person sitting three seats from me, there was this shrilling coming from them, and I found out later that was their hearing aid, and I thought, oh, God, can't they come up with something that makes more sense, and it's a big device hanging on the ear, like earrings and stuff. And then I was, like, shocked to find that the technology has just, like, blossomed incredibly all of a sudden.
Absolutely. So technology in the past, even couple of years, has advanced dramatically of what it has been from several years ago. And you look at hearing aids like the Resound Omnia from a company called Resound. They've developed technology that you can specifically program to prevent the whistling and squealing that you would get from a hearing aid.
Yep.
And as long as it's programmed correctly, you get the benefit from that. And then on top of that, the number one concern people have is hearing and background noise. And so when you take a look at the Resound Omnia and its ability to help you understand speech 150% better in a noisy environment, it really is a completely different ballgame that we're playing in today with today's advanced technology.
Yeah, I always wondered about that. If you're increasing the volume, isn't everything, including the background noise, increased as well? I mean, how but they figured out how to make the differentiate. How do they do that?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways. Number one, you have to have a hearing aid custom program to your very specific hearing loss. If you just increase the volume of everything, it makes everything sound horrible.
Yeah.
You can only specifically increase where you have the hearing loss at. So you can actually have some ranges of your hearing that are completely normal, and then other ranges that have a severe level of hearing loss. So you do not want to increase everything. You only want to increase that very specific range that you have a hearing loss. And on top of that, the noise reduction capabilities of today's hearing aids can identify what noise is versus speech. So they can specifically reduce down the amplification given to the noise and enhance the amplification given to the speech.
That's incredible stuff. Wow. Okay. And again, it's not just an aging thing. There are circumstances where this can happen at any age, right?
Absolutely. You start looking at the prevalence of hearing loss, at least through the United States, ages 12 and above, there's about 30 million individuals with hearing loss. And so hearing loss is not specifically an older age condition. We're starting to see it more and more, especially because of the prevalence of listening to loud music with earbuds inside of your ears. And that's something that even younger children really should be having a baseline hearing test done.
Yeah, that's different, too. I remember when I was growing up, it was headphones, which was, like, really damaging as well. But now you're shoving this stuff, like, into your body. Whoa, that's, like, extreme, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, those earbuds, they have, even though they're small, they can produce a lot of power.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it's also a duration thing. You see kids walking around nowadays with these earbuds inside of their ears virtually all day long listening to music. And when you look at the amount of damage that occurs, not only is it how loud it is, it's also how long you listen to it. So both of those components are definitely playing a factor.
Not to mention dirty plastic that's been hanging out on tables and stuff being inserted into your skin 24/7. That's probably not wonderful either. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely those devices build up a lot of debris and probably bacteria. So having them cleaned out regularly is probably a good idea.
Well, you're full of information today, I'll tell you. Where do we go for more information and to, you know, find out more?
Yeah, great question. So I would always lead individuals to go online initially to do some research. One of the first places is probably resound.com. Like I mentioned earlier, you can do a quick hearing screener there just to kind of get a gauge of whether or not you are at risk for hearing loss. And then on top of that, if you are, you can find a local hearing care professional on their clinic locator tool. On top of that, I have a website called hearingup.com, which is a group of vetted hearing care professionals who are committed to following best practices when testing and treating hearing loss.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. Here's the thing. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Now, here's how we're going to do this. You're going to do the same things you did today in order to listen to me. I don't know if you clicked on me, or whether you tuned into this radio station to listen to me. But one way or the other, we're doing this again tomorrow. That's going to be a different show. I'm not going to talk about the same stuff. Then I would just replay it. Don't do that. It's going to be new stuff that I'm going to talk about. That is so exciting, you shouldn't be able to sleep tonight. Right. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.